Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Tom E. Curran is enjoying Nashville. He is the Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston. He warns me he could have a more important phone call than this and need to jump off, which we certainly understand. Tom, good to be with you. How you doing?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it down here. I like the warmth. I like the friendliness. I like the tempo. I love the construction. As I'm walking down the street here. Holy crap, that was perfect timing by that guy.
Construction, it's never ending. You could come here in 20 years. They'll still be building on Everglades.
You folks got a great city.
Tom, you helped inspire Paul to write the piece today at his site about Brady and what Brady might do after this season contractually. How long has the discussion been going on in New England amongst media and fans and just talk show fodder about when Brady will actually cash in on his true value?
Probably since about 2013 when he took his first insanely underpriced contract for 3 years, $27 million. At that time, Robert Kraft talked about doing something elegant with Tom, but also not putting the Patriots over a financial barrel. So they did that, but they didn't really spend a lot of dough to put people around Brady that made his life easier. They did in times, you know. Gronk had a nice contract for a period, and Logan Mankin did, but, you know, I think that Brady has routinely, as everyone knows, taken less than he could command. And at this juncture, when he wants to continue to play, and they've already tried to replace him with Garoppolo, and now they get Jarrett Stidham, and he continues to beat back the challenges, he's already been on record, I want to play until I'm 45. And the Patriots aren't giving him a contract that allows him to do that. Not only are they not giving him the money, they're not giving him the term either. So the fact that Brady will be conceivably available at the end of this year because he does not have the franchise, Patriots don't have the right to franchise him, certainly has ratcheted up the conversation.
I would imagine it's hard to negotiate that away. How tough do you think it was for him and his people to wrestle that from them?
Probably not as hard as we would think. The reason being that I think it was arresting for them to contemplate the idea that Tom would use that leverage and would request that. And I think that they were taken aback that that was even on the table for him. Why would you want that? Well, you know what? I've never had the autonomy to do anything, and I might like to have that. But realistically, franchising Tom Brady in 2020, because he's already making, or because he was due to make a certain amount of money, would have cost about $32 million. So they couldn't. I'm sorry about the.
You're fine.
Sorry about the traffic noise, guys. Would have been about $32 million. So the Patriots weren't going to do that with him. So while Robert Kraft probably said, "Geez, I hate the idea of it." Bill Belichick said, yeah, we're not giving him 32 anyway, so just give him what he wants here.
If he were to reach a point, we know it's still probably unlikely, but if he gets to a point where he could dip his toe in the water, the places that you envision he would do so, you would put this one pretty high, I'm imagining, after we see the Vrabel love fest, knowing John Robinson's here, seeing that Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan and Josh Klein and Deion Lewis have come here and liked it so much. Titans have, you know, a guy like Adam Humphries, who the Patriots wanted for him desperately, a pretty good defense with some young pieces on it. Seemed like a lot of things that a guy like that would want if he, in fact, was shopping.
Yeah, but you also have to wonder, too, to argue somewhat against it, is would this be ideal for a guy who certainly has made no secret of the fact that he wants to leverage his brand and make it as exposed as he can. Now, it's 2019. you can do that from Greenland if you want to. Tom Brady can certainly do that the same way from Tennessee as he would be able to do it maybe one of the major metro areas in the Northeast. But I think that all the points you're making, especially with the Vrabel one, is important. What's the culture in Tennessee relative to what it's like in New England? What's the relationship for Tom Brady at 43 relative to his teammates and his head coach? And I think that, you know, Mike Vrabel's a contemporary of his. I mean, they're the same age, in essence. So I think it's been very instructive to see how they've interacted this week if we do start to, you know, unspool this possibility.
What is this version of the offense going to look like without Rob Gronkowski?
Not good. James White's going to see a ton of targets. Sony Michel's going to see more targets. As we saw this week, the extreme ability of Brady to diagnose what's going to happen before the play and manipulate the defense and get the ball out quickly is never going to go away. It's just that seam throw is going to be harder to complete more often, and the idea that anyone's going to double Matt Lacoste or Benjamin Watson the same way they would Rob Gronkowski means there's going to be more heat on Julian Edelman. So you can put heat on Edelman. You can take heat away from the tight end position, and Brady's going to have to find something else. Unfortunately, his rookie N'Keal Harry has been down. Kobe Myers, undrafted player, has played really well. But so Brady is probably not going to have a 40-touchdown year. To me, we're going to hear a lot of talk about, well, there's that cliff we've been talking about. And that's inch-deep analysis, in my opinion, because you have to look at what's around him. Brandon Cooks left, Danny Amendola left, Gronkowski's left. He's seen a great departure of talent from when he was the MVP in 2017.
Brady even going to play tomorrow?
My expectation is that he will, guys, yeah.
For us, I guess, a series or so?
I couldn't guess on that.
Okay.
And as he said yesterday, I just do what he tells me to. I mean, it's very much, you know, the notion of Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger having a share in the offense and a voice in the team and personnel. If there was a point at which Brady had a big one, now he's kind of divested himself of that, and he is just employee number 12. You tell me where to show up and tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it, Coach. I'm not going to worry about all the other stuff that could drive me crazy about who I'm throwing to or what my contract is.
What'd you think of how the two teams looked head-to-head over the last 2 days?
I thought New England looked way, way, way better offensively than the Titans looked defensively. And that surprised me, especially in some of the red zone stuff. I mean, there were so many busts yesterday, guys, on the Titans' defense. It just shouldn't happen with the number of experienced secondary guys and the fact that they're covering Braxton Berrios and Gunnar Olszewski and Benjamin Watson, and they're getting beat for 60-yard scores, in essence, theoretical scores. So that surprised me. And also, it didn't surprise me that the Patriots' defense was as potent as it seemed against the Titans' offense. I think having Humphreys down for a period, correct me if I'm wrong, probably impacted them negatively, but just flat. And I thought, Paul, your questions to Vrabel about the flatness seemed, at least you were intimating that, the flatness of the offense. Somebody's got to step up. I mean, it was bad enough to have the incompletions and the throwaways, but then there were inaccuracies and drops mixed in there as well, where it was just compounding itself. And I was surprised, especially by the second day's practice, on the level of competition from the Titans.
Yeah, they got a ways to go on offense still, it would seem. And I think they're kind of counting on some game day life. On their side of things, there hasn't been one single day where they've had Humphreys, Davis, Walker, mm-hmm. Brown, and Henry all accessible to Mariota at the same
right.
time. So.
Yeah, that's so huge. And when I'm wandering in blind and don't know those details the same way I was referencing with the Patriots,
yeah.
then take with a grain of salt the appraisal of the guy who just showed up 2 days ago.
Sure. Hey, it's good information. We Tom, appreciate the insight.
Tom, what's the best bar or restaurant you visited in Nashville so far this week?
The joint across from Tootsie's where the Eskimo Brothers were playing on Tuesday night, I didn't really look at the name of the bar. I just went in because they sounded so unbelievable, and they put on an incredible show. So whatever the bar with the Eskimo Brothers was.
All right. Well, that's an endorsement for the Eskimo Brothers, at least. That's the name of the band, I take it. Awesome. Not what you're calling these dudes?
No, they were fantastic.
Tom, appreciate it, man. We'll see you tomorrow at the stadium.
A full-throated endorsement of the Eskimo Brothers. Look them up online.
100%. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom E. Curran has been our guest.